Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to another special presentation for the Online Racing Association.com. This is the preview for the Racetech Flora Endurance Championship 2017. You're listening to a special TRS show on RadioLeMans.com. I'm Matt Hunter and with me is Ben Williams. You may recognise his voice from the other TRS shows. Good evening, Ben.
Good evening. I surely hope people recognize
us. You think they would by now? So the TEC now, of course, there is some confusion 3 months later as to what the TEC is, because the TEC has stood for previous things in the past. So let's first deal with that particular naming situation. Let's talk about what the TEC is and how it's come and what it represents in 2017. So Ben, what is exactly the TEC this year?
TEC this year is meant to mirror and kind of pay homage to the World Endurance Championship, which everyone should probably be familiar with because that features predominantly the famous 24 Hours of Le Mans and other rounds such as like Spa and the Nürburgring GP circuit, a bunch of different ones. A couple of years, it's kind of the TEC, the Tora Endurance Championship, has kind of ebb and flowed a little bit with doing different things. Probably the biggest departure of what we typically do was probably last year when we pretty much incorporated every single endurance race that you could possibly think of into one championship.
Challenging,
which, I think, yeah. Yes. Yes. Obviously, that kind of fell flat on some people just because things were constantly changing as far as car builds, yeah. As far as what classes were running and other things like that. So we're pretty much simplified the TEC this year. It's just going to feature, six rounds?
Yeah.
Six rounds of mostly six-hour racing, much like the WEC. But unlike the WEC, we only have a portion of the tracks here on Forza.
More than you might think, though. That's the crazy thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're able to go to Silverstone. We're able to go to Spa. We're able to do Le Mans. We're able to go to the Nürburgring GP circuit. And we can go to COTA for the 6 hours of Texas, I believe they call it. Or 6 hours of the Americas.
I think it's Lone Star Le Mans is how it's marketed over there, which is absolutely fabulous. I have been. It's a very, very special event. So I think what we're trying to say, dear listener, is that what we've done here is where the TEC previously, as Ben rightly said, basically accumulated all those big races, the 12 hours, the 24 hour races. We've now paired it back and we've made it what it is. We've made it a homage to the World Endurance Championship, exactly as Ben's just said. So hopefully that confusion is now gone. So, as you covered, as you briefly alluded to there, let's look at the calendar that is coming for the Racetech Tora Endurance Championship of 2017. It starts very soon, Ben, actually.
It does start very soon. It starts Saturday, April 8th at the 6 hours of Silverstone, which, of course, will be going to Silverstone, as the name would imply, racing on the Silverstone GP circuit. Now, what we should mention at this point is that the start time for TEC this season is a bit different from our typical endurance or our endurance races as a whole. Since they are 6 hours, we are starting them at about 6 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time, or British Summer Time now, I guess, which is about 1 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time now. So
confounded time changes.
I know. Curse you, Benjamin Franklin. No.
Father Time.
Anyway. Yeah. Getting back to what I was just saying.
Sorry.
So ideally the races will be ending at midnight Europe time or British time, whatever you want to call it, and ending at around 7 o'clock. Eastern time.
It's about midnight over here.
Yeah, that just said that.
Yeah, sorry, yes. Well, of course, the good thing about that is it does at least mean that the competitors do still get still get a weekend, is, I guess, the main thing. And it also means that it we're not starting races we're not doing races on the Sunday for this, which does also mean that you're not finishing at midnight and having to go to school, work, the gym, and all the other things that people have to do on Monday, the coffee house, these sort of things.
Also, with the time change, we're able to make it a little bit more accessible for those out on the west coast of U.S. where races typically start at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Or we were talking like the Australian drivers here at Tor, when they're getting up at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning just to compete in the race. So I think that the time that we selected balances everybody out. So hopefully everyone will get used to time difference.
So anyway, once we've gone over that little hurdle and everyone knows exactly what time is when and that sort of thing, such as the wonderful world of sim racing throughout the globe at the same time.
Global sim racing,
It's also important to point out, of course, that the races aren't 6 hours solid. So for people new to the concept of endurance racing at Tora, they're split into stints, are they, Ben? So you can just explain what happens within the race.
Yeah, it's your typical Tora endurance split. Everyone gets in the lobby, and the lobby's set for about 2 hours. What you do is that there's different start positions for different stints. We're not going to go into that right now, but make sure you do read up on that. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, dear listener. But what we do is that we typically physically race for about an hour and 40 minutes before we stop all the cars on track and take their overall distance to first place. This allows us to calculate everyone's distance to near enough the nearest mile. And it really has, in years past, and just with ASCC, come down to the 0.1 of a mile sometimes.
So it is very, very important. And of course, this also brings in the fact it's probably one of the best thing about racing, Tora endurance style racing, is the team element and how it's very important to make sure that you get drivers in the right place at the right time, isn't it, Ben? So, you know, how do you plan it? Do you want your quick drivers out first? Do you want them in the middle? That sort of thing.
Everyone has their own style of this type of thing. I'm not sure personally what my team's going to be doing yet, but we're roughly than this same second, half second-ish, I believe. So it doesn't really matter which one on my team goes first, just as long as someone's racing is the main
important part.
Yeah. We can go into hours upon hours talking strategy and pit strategies and other things like that, but I fear that would be probably boring in comparison to some of the other great contact on Radio.com.
That's very true. Well, let's look then through the rest of the calendar. So we have the 6 hours of Silverstone starting on April the 8th. And then we head to another circuit that will be very familiar for Radio.com listeners. The 6 hours of Spa. Now, of course, this is now traditionally in real life, as is the case for us as well, the warm-up for the big one. This will be the warm-up for the Le Mans race. How do you think then, Ben, that the racing may differ from Silverstone to Spa? Do you think we'll see some teams starting to do prep for Le Mans, as would be the case in real life, or do we think that it might just be taken as another sim race?
Well, one of the things that we strive to do here at Tora is to make it feel as close to real life as possible. So it depends on, once again, strategy, whether or not you're going to focus primarily on just getting a good base tune at Spa that we can build on at Le Mans and other things like that. So it really, I think it's really going to depend on the team itself and what decisions that they make.
Absolutely. So, well, let's look then a little bit further. It will be the big one. Round three sits virtually in the middle of the championship, no pun intended. The 24 hours of Le Mans. Now, we've been running these, Ben, for quite some time. I think 2010 was the first one that we ran. And it is a binding force across the console racing communities. We see it seems to be the race that everyone wants to take part in, which is absolutely fantastic. Saturday, June the 10th and the 11th, put the date in the diaries. That's the week before the real race in Le Sarthe. So, and a slightly different.
Hopefully, go ahead. Hopefully, we're not going to be competing with iRacing's Le Mans like we have been with Daytona and Sebring the last couple of rounds at ASCC.
Very true. Now, of course, it's important to note for this one, dear listener, there is a different start time for Le Mans. That's the traditional start time for
Tour. Yes, we're going back to the traditional 24-hour start time, just because I think it's just easier. And where six-hour races, you only have a chance to maybe only race one stint. With a 24-hour race, you're looking at 2 to 3 stints. So you can plan more appropriately that way, I feel, if it's a time zone that you're probably more familiar with, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And it's it's a long old slog, isn't it, for the Le Mans 24 hours. And it starts earlier in the week with qualifying on June the 7th and June the 8th for everyone to get set their times for what is actually the last but the penultimate endurance race in 2017 for Toro. There's only four big endurance races this year. We've had Daytona, we've had Sebring. Le Mans will be the only one for the TEC, Freudian slip, and then the final proper endurance race will be Petit Le Mans at Road Atlanta, not Road America, towards the end of the year. I believe that is in September, I do believe, Ben.
Yep. But we can talk about those later.
We certainly can. So,
to next round of the championship, which is the 6 hours of the Nürburgring. The very famous Nürburgring GP circuit, which, as we should point out, is going back to the 8 o'clock British summer. 6 o'clock British summer time. Time conversions tricky. Going back to the 6 o'clock British summer time start, like all the other 6 hour races that we've been talking about.
Absolutely, and you will note, of course, the Nürburgring is a pleasant addition to this kind of race. It's only been on the WEC. I think last year was the first year that WEC went there. I'm sure some more clever listeners will correct me if I am wrong. That then on Saturday, July the 1st. Then we head to a circuit which has seen endurance racing in the past, on this level at least. I think the last time, it would have been the predecessor to the WEC, and it might even have been the predecessor to that. I think it was technically still the Le Mans series. The 6 hours of Catalunya on Saturday, July the 29th.
Yes, and the eagle-eyed viewer will, or listener in this case, will point out that, hey, Catalunya is not on the WEC calendar. We know. Unfortunately, we don't have some of the more famous rounds. Like, I believe this one's supposed to be replacing
Fuji, I think.
Fuji, yeah. So we don't have Fuji on Forza 6. So I think we substituted with a good
set. I think we do pretty well. Because, I mean, if you take into account the prologue, which this year is at Monza for the first time, very, very cool going back there, we're actually only missing, I believe, Fuji and Bahrain. So actually, percentages-wise, we're doing very, very well for a WEC calendar.
We are. We are doing very well.
And the calendar then will close off at the 6 hours of COTA, Lone Star, Le Mans, on Saturday, August the 12th. That's actually about a month before the real round at COTA. So it'll be a nice little warm-up for people who are planning to go down to Austin. And I can tell you, if you do get the chance, go to Austin. It's an amazing, amazing experience, and the circuit is incredible. And again, that is, as Ben has been saying, that is a 6 o'clock start with qualifying on August the 9th and August the 10th. Now, Ben, of course, we've sort of been saying, oh, yes, qualifying is on these other 2 days. And some listeners will be going, well, why? Why is qualifying on separate days? So please enlighten us.
Yes.
Right.
Qualifying at Tora is done, I'd say, similarly to real-life qualifying, where everyone gets a set amount of time to set their fastest lap. It's only on Forza that we need to be concerned with clean versus dirty laps and other things like that, making sure we aren't cutting the track in obvious places. And given the sheer amount of drivers that we typically have for these endurance races, it would be really difficult to get everyone qualified on the day, like most of Tora's different series. So that's why we do them the week leading up to it, just so that we have everyone qualified who wants to take part in the race, and we're not squirming at the last second to get everyone lined up on the grid.
Indeed, and I think it's essential, of course, for everyone to make all people who are competing or people who are planning to compete to make sure that they are fully versed as to when the qualifying sessions are, and and when they need to take part. So let's move on then. We've discussed the small matter of the calendar, which 6 rounds of 6 hour races. That's a lot of racing, if we're honest. So I think competitors are in for a very, very interesting time sped across the calendar from April down into August, so all through the summer as we head into autumn here in the UK. Let's then move to car list, because it's not it is what I think people will be expecting, and also it's very, very reflective upon the series, the real world series rather, the state of play within it at the moment. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, of course, we do have 2 classes, just like WEC and TEC this year, and these are the only 2 classes that we will be using the rest of the series, unlike TEC last year, but we were talking about that. Of course, we are featuring the Le Mans Prototype 1s, so that's your Audi Quattro, your 919 Hybrid, your Toyota TS040 Hybrid, and these are, you know, cars that you expect. These are the modern-day Le Mans prototypes, minus, of course, the Audi, since Audi is taking a leave of their senses, I would say, and has decided not to take part in WEC this year.
And looking into the GT class, perhaps only the one obvious missing car, Turn 10. The thunderous Corvette C7R, the 458 GTLM, the Ford GT, and the older spec 911 RSR, all present and correct in the GT class.
Tell us, Matt, what is the GT car that is missing from this series?
Well,
I'm setting you up. Take it.
I'm taking the hit. It's of course, the Vantage is missing primarily, and has been missing for many, 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 many years. and many, many, many iterations of Forza. So please, if we could possibly see that car or its whatever comes next from Aston Martin Racing would be very, very much appreciated, because the DBR9 has kind of had enough now. Just saying. Of course, some people will say, but hang on a minute, you haven't included LMP2. Now, while it might come across as very, very straightforward as to why, as to why we would have LMP2, rather, it's actually more complicated, isn't it, Ben? Because it's not just a case of the balance of performance for all of the cars included that we have included, but also the ability to manage that within the lobbies.
Yeah. For those who aren't familiar with how we have to balance our cars on Forza 4, some cars require some extensive upgrades, some don't. Some require a power handicap of some sort just so that they balance in with the other cars. And not only are we, frankly, running out of places that we can apply these handicaps, it also is just going to make circuits less busy with only two classes on the track. And besides, it's not like you're hurting for LMP2 here at Toro. If you want to race in LMP2 or that style, there's always the American Sports Car Championship, which features LMP2 spec vehicles.
Absolutely. So you can't say we're not catering for every class at some stage. Mm-hmm. And of course, it is interesting. We did make the choice that the discussion did happen. Should we actually continue to use the Audi now that it has, Team US and Audi as a whole has moved on from the WEC in real life? But I think we decided that it would be fitting, wouldn't it, to retain Audi as part of our series.
Yeah, one of the discussions that we had within the Toro staff was that having a WEC style series without an Audi was kind of like having a peanut butter jelly without any jelly or peanut butter or bread for that matter. So,
just a ball of peanut butter in your hand, basically.
Yep, just stick. Anyway,
metaphors aside.
So that's why. Yeah. So that's why we kind of decided to have the Audi continue in our series because, well, we don't have to worry about contracts and things like that with this type of endurance, virtual endurance racing, I should say. So.
And plus, of course, visually, it just looks better having that diversity on track as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does. And I mean, going by the car, okay, there isn't a lot of Audis out there at the moment. The split is actually better than I thought it was going to be, though. Currently, Toyota and Porsche 7 apiece at the moment, with 2 Audis currently on the grid. So actually, people aren't picking all one car, which is great to see. So so it could be quite interesting actually as we head into the championship proper. So I think actually, Ben, it's probably time to start discussing some of the entries for the championship. 27 cars currently entered, which is actually almost on par with the real WEC, through two classes, not three. So no LMP2 spec series propping up the championship here. Just saying, Orica. And Ligier.
Once again, subtle commentary here on the
Toro show. Completely unbiased. I have to say, I'd very much like to see those two cars in a future Forza title. I think it would be very, very beneficial to all and sundry to have those.
Again,
So let's.
Let's talk about the entries.
Say no more. Okay, so let's look at the teams then that have entered. We'll start with the prototypes that we can see so far, and we have Allied Forces entering a 919 hybrid for Radiation Lewis, Fresh Cuban Bread, both of whom I thought were Grip Tech drivers, Speed Demon 64 and TLR Overdrive. I personally think that's an incredibly strong lineup. What are your thoughts?
It's a very strong lineup. For the typical TRS listener, we'll probably remember hearing the name Fresh Cuban Bread, or as I call him, Christian Gomez. Because last year he won both the IndyCar Drivers' Championship and the NASCAR Drivers' Championship. Pretty much like the American Cup here at Tora, kind of. So, having Fresh Cuban Bread come on to Odd Forces, which is my team, is, if you didn't notice, has always been a really good thing for us. And Lewis coming back home to Odd Forces after being away for a while, it's good to have the band back together, as it were.
And as we just said, I mean, it will be a phenomenally competitive lineup as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be one of the cards to beat. It's a very, very strong card to start with. To be honest, in all fairness, all four drivers very, very capable of taking wins, taking titles. And I mean, Lewis's record in previous sports car championships here at Tora speaks for itself. So, mm-hmm. Very best of luck to him.
Yes. Then we also do have another Porsche 919 Wonderground in the Audi Forces garage. Mm-hmm. This one, a special Team Australia version driven by Mr. Cousin
That's
9.
That's going to be colorful, I can imagine.
It's going to be very colorful. It is very colorful. I've already seen it. That Porsche will be driven by Mr. Cousin 9, one of Audi Forces' various Australian drivers. And of course, then joining him will be NASCAR usual and another Allied Forces driver who's come back home, Jake Rose.
He is getting into interesting places these days, isn't he? I have noticed. Mm-hmm. So good on Jordan getting involved firstly in an Allied Forces car, but also in the top class as well. I've always taken him to be a GT guy, so good on him indeed. Just looking a little bit further down the list, we have HCR Audi Sport Team Yerst. That's the car perfectly painted up by HCR Noodle, Cal there, one of the artistes spectacular, also referred to as Rooftop Noodle, for some of the special shots that you may have seen through Tora's Twitter feed for a number of races. He seems to find some spectacular angles to get pictures from. He's partnered in that car, which is the 202, by Madball Ben, HCR Solar, another strong driver, and HCR Havoc. Thoughts on the Audi there? I actually think that, to be honest, the 64 and the 202 together, so that's the Porsche we've just discussed, the Christian Gomez and Lewis Saffley car, and Cal's car, I think those two, that's going to be the battle at the front, in my personal opinion.
Probably, but there are very many other LMP teams out there in the field that could be trying to steal the show away from those two cars.
This is true, but I just wanted to build it up. I don't know. What can you say about that? I mean, it'd be great to have the proper Team US colours on the grid as well. So, absolutely fantastic. We also have Porsche Motorsport LMP1 team by TSR. Breathe and get that one out in one hit. Team Samsung Racing. Now, they've been pushing this car for quite some time. And I will say that actually, they guessed the colours of the works car in real life very, very well.
Yeah.
almost to the millimeter, actually.
Yes, if you put them side by side, it's like, wait, which is the real life car and which is the virtual car? They were that close.
It's very, very good. Mm-hmm. Obviously, aero differences, but that's by the by. Yeah. It's great, and of course, that's another strong team that's got EC Bridie and WRC Freak in at the moment, so I can only assume one of those drivers is going to be doing two stints at the moment in the 6-hour races, lest they find a third from somewhere. Otherwise, it's going to be quite interesting. And for Le Mans, even more interesting if it's only the two of them swapping stints for 24 hours.
Well, hopefully these teams are going to be growing as the series goes on, because doing two-man teams at Le Mans is going to be very tricky.
Very, very, absolutely. In fact, I think only only a handful of teams have ever tried that in the past, and it usually ends up with them not being able to do anything for the next 24 hours. So good luck to them. The second prototype team from TSR, Team Samsung Racing, Ginetta LMP1. I know what they've done here. It's very clever. I've seen the livery. It looks very, very similar to the press picture that we saw of the upcoming Mechachrome-powered LMP1 Ginetta project that's coming online for the WEC next year. This done on the Audi. I can understand why. It does have similar features. So, good choice of car. I think originally they had put it on the Toyota, but decided that the Audi best fitted the look of the car. That for real Ginetta driver, Just Too Many, and Montessa Mike, the overseer of the Team Samsung stable, such as it is, in the 496 car there. We also have the two Spanish teams, FIA Team Racing and FIA GT Team, so I think we can ascertain that one of those will most likely be a prototype, the second probably a GT. What we would ascertain to be the prototype entry for FIA Snake, Cheyenne DK and Auriello, all in those, the 471 being the number for FIA Snake, the chosen number for the car. Little point to note there, obviously each driver has their own unique number in Tora, and before the season starts they have to pick one number to carry on the car throughout the course of the season, so hence the number choice there. Who else have we got in the LMP ranks that we're interested in?
Well, we have Grumpy Bunch Motorsports, both US and UK, which Grumpy Bunch is
Grumpy people are everywhere.
Yeah, they're actually a team that's propped up very recently. The first time I remember seeing them as an entry was, I think, Daytona earlier this year, back in January. So it's good to have them on board. Both the Grumpy Bunch Motorsports US and UK entries are driving the Toyota TS40 hybrid. So there's two Toyotas right there on the grid. They are numbered 104 for the US and 132 from the UK. And they feature drivers such as Nos, ERT, Vader, Renegade, Darkstig, and borrowing him from P1 Performance, P1P Birchie.
So, excellent.
I gotten to know these guys pretty good during some of the Tour US stuff on weeknights during the Tour US weeknight stuff. So good to see them in something other than a
US-based time zone series.
Yeah.
Fair play to them. It'd be great to have them on board. Another team that's cropped up recently, certainly they've got entries in the British GT Championship as well, GTR. They have two cars. We'll concentrate on the LMP entry just for now. Good lineup, actually. Only two drivers, but they GTR Intelligent Motorsport. They're running a Porsche, perhaps unsurprising with Intelligent in the title. And that is for GTR Blaze and GTR Achilles, both doing time in the British GT as well. So that's going to be interesting, jumping from an LMP car into a GT, effectively a GT3 car every few weeks. So good on them. We also have another Toyota for Ultimate Motorsport. I think they're fairly new off the top of my head.
I believe they are. Yes, I think they propped up about the same time as the Grumpy Bunch did. Remember correctly? I do remember the team name being used during TASCAR this season.
Yeah.
And I believe they're actually first in the standings at the moment.
That's fantastic. That car is, they're taking the number 42. Which is for Bolts 211743. Wow. Discover Osiris and the fantastically named No Doubt Flat Out. I love that. That's brilliant. So Ultimate Autosport there for that one. Then we have a name that's new to me, and you're probably going to shout over me, but I'm so anyway. Sakura Racing. Now they've entered.
Oh, no.
They've absolutely entered a swathe of LMP cars. We've got no less than three Toyotas and two 919 hybrids. They must have some. Well, if it was real, they must have some serious money behind them.
That's two Toyotas. You're looking at the CRA car.
Oh, my apologies. You haven't done some. See Toyota. I've got Toyota on the mind. Which is interesting because I'm a Ford man. Anyway, so Sakura Racing. We have in the first one the 224 car, Riverback JJ, another solid driver there, and Rockscheck LP.
Okay.
What? I did that quite well. Rockscheck LP, so shush. Sakura Race. So the second Sakura Racing car, Sakura Racing Tommy Hilfiger. Also a 919. They're taking the number 32. That'll be for Driftmaster and Daytime Irate. And the pair of Toyotas that they have so far is IGP Manager Racing. Is that a game? That rings a bell.
Yes, it is a game.
There we
actually.
Go, then. See, it shows what I know. they're taking the 605, Mr. Corrosive 10. Being the number holder for that one, and Carter 244 in the 166. So they take the 605. And finally from then, Tommy Hilfiger denim. So that'd be everyone dressed as a mid-90s Jeremy Clarkson. Taking car number 169 for Shadow Fox and Coded 48.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Ben, as you briefly mentioned, CRA are back on the scene.
Yes, it's always good to have the Clean Racers Association back on the Tour grid. They were actually doing two entries, one LMP, one GT. We'll talk about the GT one in a second. But they are in the sixth Toyota hybrid on the grid.
Correct, yeah.
And that's, and they're being, and that is car number 759 for Dragon Xiong. And then also in the car is Teddy GTR and CRA Morphator. Or, I'm sorry, Xenomorph.
Close enough.
He changed his gamer tag.
Oh, right. See, that's a bit historical for you there, ladies and gentlemen. Always paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the final LMP entry at the moment, interestingly, actually, only the second HCR entry. So I'm looking on there and thinking, there's no F4H yet. Keeping the powder dry. HCR Centura Racing in a Toyota, the final Toyota on the grid, 727. For Carlson's Raiders, the number owner for that one, and HCR Havoc at the minute. HCR Havoc, interestingly, is going to be in two cars. So
I believe that might be an error.
Well, it might not be, of course, because depending on how they work their stints, that could work for them. Because if you think, the HCR Audi Sport Team US has got four drivers, and majority of the stints will only require three drivers to do a stint each. So you never know. Let's talk GT then, Ben, because there is a smaller GT class at the moment. We do expect this to grow before Silverstone.
Mm-hmm.
So Porsche Motorsport GT Team by TSR. So expect a works livery from the Samsung Racing guys. There, 504, the number, TP Lizard, the number owner for that one, with Explosive Sam, the second driver there. Interesting that all the TSR entries have only got the two drivers. That's going to prove interesting for them.
Yes. I should also point out that's the only Porsche in the GT field right now.
However, the first of two Corvettes, and there are other Corvettes, but these two are the most important, and I'm absolutely not biased when I say it. AX4X Cyber Racing Visit Devon and AX4X Cyber Racing Visit Exeter entries, the 99 and the 13. Now, of course, 99 is an Aston Martin number, but we don't have Aston Martin, so we've got Corvette. The entry there for Adam Watson, 99, hence the number. MRN3 Drifter and Shrinking Steven, who will be joining them for Le Mans onwards. And the Visit Exeter car, the number 13 for Big Ben, 0913 and Windcharger currently rumoured to have a third driver coming on for that in due course. Interesting entry. They have a lot of experience with the Corvettes now. They've done at least, well, done a whole of last season with it in various states, and it has also run. I believe it has also run at Daytona as well, hasn't it? And there is the long-standing ASCC Sprint entry as well for Jensen 09 and Ian Morn over there. So good representation for Cyber Racing and Devon, which is never a bad thing. And the first Ferrari, Ben.
Yes, the first Ferrari that's driven by fellow AX4X Motorsports driver Erebus V8 in the 31. He's teamed up with LMR Bandits to make a Marinara Motorsports, and I'm probably killing the pronunciation of that. Sorry, Brad. Marinara Motorsports Ferrari, which is something that Brad always likes to do whenever these large endurance races come around.
I'm really hoping he brings back the Iveco paint job that he ran a couple of years ago when he did actually have support from Maranello back in the day. So that'd be fantastic to see that car back. It is a stalwart of Toro sports car racing. So actually in our 10th year, having a car come back from the ether is absolutely fantastic. Great to see that car back. And as we mentioned earlier, the second of our Antipodean drivers to take to the grid this year at stupid o'clock in the morning. So well done, Brad. And our first Ford of the series.
Yes. Yep. This is a HCR.
Julia, which is an Alpha.
Julia?
Yeah, which is an Alpha name. So goodness knows why they've done that, but okay.
Don't squint at it too much. yes, and this is the only Ford in the grid at the moment. It's the number 12 car for HCR General So, and also joining him in the Ford is HCR Grizzly and XPR Chicane.
That's a strong lineup in a biblically strong car.
Mm-hmm. That concerns me a little bit.
I'm actually more inclined to say the problem is, though, whilst they have a very strong lineup and a very strong car, they have literally the worst luck I have ever seen sim racers have. So I mean, hopefully they can not have that issue again for the TEC, unlike in ASCC and other series they've been in the past. But yeah, best of luck to them. Although having that Alpha name, that's just wrong, guys. It's wrong. Sort it out.
Once again, sort it out. Nothing but the unbiased opinion here on Radio.com.
GTR, another entry from them, GTR Coalition in the third Corvette entered in the series, running the rather Porsche-rific 912 number. Now this is a lineup right here. The 912 number owner GTR Moshis. There's a name that listeners will know from British GT and ASCC. So that's a name to watch for in this championship, I'll tell you that for now. GTR South, GTR M Rossi being a name historically an AI name from the game, so fantastic whoever picked that as their game tag. And GTR Quattro as well. Another four-car grid. Not many of them around. I think we've only actually got three or four driver lineups. So it's definitely hedging their bets and looking more towards Le Mans than they are perhaps worrying about the rest of the series, which is probably actually very clever.
Anyway, moving on to the second Ferrari in the grid. This is VIR Racing, yet another one of the new teams that's popped up on tour in the last couple of months.
And I always thought they were something to do with the circuit, but they're not.
No, at the time, I cannot remember what it means, but I'm sure someone on their Twitter account will probably tweet us using the hashtag TRS and let us know what it
Very
means.
Very intelligent racers, that's what I'm going for.
Anyway, this is the number 594 car for Mr. Stepanoff. He is joined by Dead Duck 82, David Gomez 76, and Joe Pinder.
There's a name I recognise as well, so good to see that. Again, I think that's going to be a strong lineup, actually. And the Ferrari's a knife-edge car to set up, so it's interesting that we have, interesting slash possibly slightly unsurprising that we haven't seen quite so many of them. It's not the easiest car to drive fast. But if they can unlock the speed in it, I think that will, that particular car, no offence to the guys at Maranello Motorsport, but I think the VIR racing car, Ferrari, that will be the one to watch in terms of the Italian mark this season. Although I've just spied upon a particular driver name next to another Ferrari further down, which may change that, but we'll come to that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, then, the last Chevrolet on the grid so far, CRA, another the CRA GT entry, the JTEC Racing entry. They're running the 512, that's for Desert Rain Fog. One of our fantastic European drivers, getting himself about in sports car racing and British GT as well. Great to see him on the grid. He's backed up by CRA Bastic and CRA Urban. Again, that would be a very good car. Hard to knock. It's what it lacks in volume, it more than makes up in quality, I think, this grid so far.
Yeah. Then, of course, we have one last Ferrari. So, for those keeping track at home, there are more Corvettes and Ferraris than you can shake a stick at on this grid so far. Team Notorious in their Ferrari, number 58 for Will is based. Mm-hmm. He's joined by Roman Karp, T. Tony, Swagger Squid. Some great gamer tags in this series so far. And
RW26. It's Blaze. Somewhere Declan Brennan's head is literally bursting in with smoke, at pouring out of his ears. At some of these gamer tags, it does make me giggle. Interesting, and that's our only five-man squad for that, so goodness knows what their plan is or how they're going to possibly fit the five drivers into one car. Many extra seats.
Mm. Yes. Mm.
Maybe a sidecar.
Well, maybe. Well, one of the unique things about TEC this season, and we probably talked about this when we were going down through everything. The way the rules are set up is that teams are able to join their entries together for a Mans so that they aren't hurting for drivers. Yeah. So in something like the two Sauber Racing entries, the number 13 drivers could jump into the 99 car, and then there's a full lineup right there.
Very true.
So I think what Team Notorious has done is that they've pretty much filled their car so that they don't have to worry about finding more drivers as the season goes on.
It just means that someone's going to be sat there twiddling their thumbs at the back of the virtual garage for all the rest of the rounds, but I'm sure they know what they're doing. Sure of it. But no, I think, as we just mentioned, I think it's a grid that is filled with quality. I have no doubt that we will see some more entries before the first round at Silverstone. F4H, where are you? And also some more Happy Cat Racing entries I think we may possibly see. A lot of teams we know splitting their time between ASCC and British GT currently, so it might be manpower, who knows. But I think it looks like it's going to be a fantastic field. And just to give you a feel now as to what it would be like to pilot one of these biblical TEC cars. Coming up right now is another special test track from Toro's own test driver, the ever bubbly, I'll think of a better metaphor for him in the next TRS, Mr. Lewis Sadley.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Toro Test Track on the Toro Radio Show on RadioLeMans.com, and this is the TEC Special. We're going to go ahead and jump into a car we haven't done yet, and we're going to go on to the best of my knowledge, a track that we haven't done yet. I'm pretty sure we haven't done one. We have the TS-040 Toyota LMP1. It's the last of the LMP1s that we have on offer in the game of Forza, and we're going to go ahead and give it a good hard run around this circuit and wring its neck. Coda, this is going to be the final round of the championship for the TEC, which all the way leading up to it, we're going to have the 6 hours of Silverstone, the 6 hours of Spa, the 24 hours of Le Mans, the 6 hours of the Nürburgring, all of which mimic the first four rounds of the actual championship, and then we go ahead and cram in our own round in between there. We're going to go ahead and jump into Catalunya, simply because the game doesn't offer us all the tracks on the circuit, but we just do our best with it anyway. We always tend to do that, and then we're just going to go ahead and jump right into Coda to round out the championship for this year. So, without further ado, the Toyota TS040, I know there's quite a few Toyota fanatics out there, so they're going to probably enjoy this one just as much as I am. And we're going to go ahead and give this thing a revving start on the front straightaway, coming right out of the pit lane. And then we're going to see what Japanese dreams are made of. So let's go ahead and climb behind the wheel. All right, ladies and gents, here we are. We're right at pit out. The pit wall is right behind me. So let's go ahead and give it a revving start. Looking right up this hill, it's actually a pretty steep climb right away, and we're launching instantly out of first gear, second gear, and into third, and we're already at 120 before we break hard. That was just a quick burst. That wasn't even a full front straightaway. So now we come down into the first of the S's. This is modeled after the Silverstone, Maggots, Beckett's, and Chapel section. Remember that. So you pretty much almost go flying out through there. Cold tires are going to hinder us from doing that. Here we are, fourth gear through here. Just going to tiptoe a little bit here as we got ice cold tires. Dropping down to third gear here as all the way through the S's, they continue to get tighter and tighter and tighter as here we are. Top of the S's there. Watch for that bump. We've seen Lauterer get airborne with an Audi a few years ago there. Now we're at the top of the S's. Go down a little bit of a hill here and then we're already at the hairpin right away. Heartbreaking, second gear corner, 50 miles an hour, tiptoe, really got to tiptoe with cold tires. And then we just launch right onto the back straightaway. A few years ago with the WEC, I had the privilege of watching this very car beat itself at the very next corner that we're coming up to right now at 190 miles an hour. Heartbreaking, second gear. We're in the dry now, so we don't have to worry about beating ourselves. We're in the stadium section. Modeled heavily off of the Hockenheim circuit, just flip-flopped a little bit, as you would say. This is the section I got to sit in, and you could practically see the whole circuit around there. Anyways, another time, another moment for nostalgia there. First gear coming out of that last little bit there as we head towards this lovely complex that goes around the tower. Multi-Apex, modeled after Istanbul in Turkey. A circuit that I'm really disappointed that nobody really goes to nowadays anymore. It's a beautiful circuit out there. Now here we are, already wrapping up our first lap around the circuit, coming up into the final corner, turn 20. Second gear, 50 miles an hour, hold on to it. Now we're launching down the front straightaway. We got warm tires now. Let's see what we can get out of this sucker. 160 across the start finish line. Here we are coming up to the top of the first corner, the signature corner, turn one, uphill. It's very deceiving, very wide. Then right instantly we go back downhill, back into the S's. First little bit, we could probably go full throttle through. Let's see what we can get through there. There's the right-hander under the bridge left. And breathe the throttle for the right, then left again. Going to start gradually slowing down. Drop it down to third gear, 95 miles an hour here. There it is. Get onto the throttle, third gear for the next left-hander. Then the two tight corners of the S's. Drifted out wide, sideways a little bit as we got on a little bit of the marbles. There it is. There's the left-hander that got the Audi airborne. And we're at the top of the hill, coming back down. There's the left-hander. Quick grab of breath here as you get ready to heartbreak for the hairpin. There it is, heartbreaking. Second gear once again, 50 miles an hour. Wait for it. You want to get on the throttle way early, but can't. Now we take a breath. Back straightaway bound now. Kind of like a roller coaster on the back straightaway. It goes uphill, goes downhill, then comes back uphill once again. And then just before you enter the brake zone, it goes a little bit downhill, then heartbreaking. There it is. Second gear coming into the stadium section. 50 miles an hour again. Almost got down to 45 there as he got a little bit sideways. Hard on the accelerator. Drop it down to second gear. A lot of patience has to be expressed here through this section because you just want to get through it as fast as possible. But cannot, otherwise you're going to be off into the beach. First gear here, 37 miles an hour through that final little bit of the stadium. And then we're hard on the throttle through the multi-apex right. There's the first bit. There's the second. Here's the third. You're able to go full throttle all the way around through here as we get ready to set up for the left-hander. Turn 19, heartbreaking, third gear. Watch out for it. Hop the curb a little bit. That's a big no-no in the race. Got to stay on top of it, though. Second gear, heartbreaking for the final corner. Then we're back on it once again. And that is a couple laps around here at COTA. Now let's go ahead and give you a silent one to appreciate the sound of the TSO40. gentlemen, is A Silent Lap Around Coda. I do love me some Open Pipe Symphony. It's the best music in the world, if you ask me. So, I'm going to go ahead and continue to drive around this place, as I often love to do, because I just fall in love with cars around certain circuits, and this is one of them. So, for the Tour Test Track TEC Special, this has been Lewis Satterley on the Tour Radio Show on RadioLeMond.com. Be safe, be fast, and bye for now.
And that was the effervescent Mr. Lewis Satterley. He's going to get very cross with me, dear listener, the next time he's on the show. Oh, dear. Anyway, so, ladies and gentlemen, that is the preview for the Tora, the Racetech Tora Endurance Championship 2017. It's going to be a very interesting ride. We are hoping, of course, to stream the majority of these races live through either Twitch and or Beam. We're still working on that slightly, but rest assured there will be some fantastic coverage of each round coming out to you in the form of galleries, reports, that kind of thing, plus all the usual social media nonsense. So thank you ever so much for listening to this very special show, preview show from the Tora Radio Show. Lots of shows going on there here on RadioLeMond.com. If you're looking for more information about the Online Racing Association, please head over to our website, www.theonlineracingassociation.com, or you can visit us at Twitter, @TheReal_Tora, where you can get all your sim racing information from. Ben, thank you very much for joining me on this special show. Said show again.
Mm-hmm. It's always been a pleasure.
I think it's going to be a very interesting season, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it's going to be very interesting indeed. It's a long series, so hey, it's racing. Anything can happen.
This is true. I didn't actually ask you just a minute ago, so I should just quickly check who is your sort of jump out team for success this season.
Honestly, I have to throw it up to my boys, my Allied Forces drivers in that 64 Porsche. Speed Demon. Speed Demon is not someone that we really talked about when we talked about that car, but that dude did, I think it was five stints of of Sebring this past month, and he managed to get that car sixth on the grid, basically by himself. So, Speed Demon put on a huge Herculean effort, and I would not expect anything less from him here during TEC. And of course, Fresh Cube Red and Lewis, those names kind of speak for themselves.
This is very true. Well, I could be very biased and say that my my money would be on one of the two CR teams in GT, but I can't say that. So I will say it. So he's on Cyber Racing for the GT class. In LMP1, I think I should be going for, just to ring the changes, the HCR Audi Sport Team Yerst car, just purely because I do love that Audi so very much. Anyway, thank you ever so much for listening. The first round of the Racetech Tura Endurance Championship will take place on Saturday, the 8th of April, at 6 p.m. UK time. That's about 1 o'clock Eastern Standard. So, with qualifying taking place on April the 5th and April the 6th, we look forward to hopefully seeing you there and providing you with some coverage, some great streaming coverage across the season. Thank you ever so much for listening. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMond.com.